The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back. It's a Monday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
61 degrees right now. Going to get up into the low 80s. We are officially in second summer.
Oh.
Right? They fooled you with the fake fall, mm-hmm. and then boom, the heat's back again. Although the heat will start to dissipate as the week goes on. Highs from the low 80s all the way down into the mid to low 70s throughout the rest of the week. And it looks like it's going to be sunny today.
Yeah.
Which means my daughter's tennis match has a 0% chance of getting canceled, which is awesome. That is awesome, and I'm glad she's going to get to play. I'll see you at Marcus Whitman at 5 o'clock. a lot of stuff going on. People enjoying the warm weather. And the Bills didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it gave me the opportunity.
Weird.
Weird.
It's just weird, like having a weekend of football but no Bills.
Weird, wild stuff. if you wanted to, you could have gotten out to Casa Larga, the vineyard out there on the east side.
Oh, a little wine tasting?
No, well, I'm sure there was tasting there, but it was their 28th annual Purple Foot Festival. You've heard of this before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you stomped the grapes.
Yeah, you got it. It honored the 50th anniversary of the... All right, I'm going to try this. It might be the most Italian name I've ever seen in my life. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Colaruotolo family.
Okay.
Colaruotolo.
So they started Casa Larga?
Yes, they. It looks like they own the winery there.
Okay.
Yep. And they say its old world grape stomping tradition has become a favorite in the community. So along with the winery stuff, they had a kid zone, DJ, face painting, sack races, all that stuff.
They introduced children to wine.
They had artisans setting up like tents, you know, so you could take one of those wine bottles from Casa Larga, melt it down into a cheese tray, and spend $400 on that.
Yeah.
You know, fun for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was packed, right, because everybody loves the wineries in Western New York.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Any opportunity you get to go out there, people are going to take. Yet there is one person, it seems, here in our community that is bothered by what happened yesterday.
What happened?
Bothered?
Well, I don't know, Kimmy. You said you saw this story, and it didn't sit well with you.
Well, I was just, this in particular doesn't bother me, but I have seen the process of other foods and beverages being made, and it kind of ruined the food and beverage for me.
Okay, so you're saying that the idea that people stomp the grapes with their bare feet to make wine.
I can see that, like, turning some people off.
So that,
like,
doesn't bother you, though?
Bare-ass
feet.
Like that, the feeling of it kind of gives me like nails on a chalkboard.
Old Italian men with their feet. Oh, you come in! I'm in! Oh, hey.
It's that old Lucy skit where she's in there with that lady and it's creeping her out.
But
it is gross.
For all of you watching my TV last night.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
That hot New Lucy episode from 7 years ago.
Well, that's the only thing I could think of.
Was it in black and white or was it in color?
They hadn't made the transition yet.
No, but it did make me think of this one time a friend of ours, he decided that he wanted to make like homemade apple cider one fall. So he was putting it through like this old like antique like cider machine
thing.
Like a press? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it looked dirty. Okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's like squeezing all the apples and pressing them, and then it's like falling into like this bucket, and he's just scooping it out of the bucket and making everybody taste it. I don't know what it was about it. It kind of grossed me out.
You know, you make a good point, because there's a few things that we're known for around here. You bring up the cider. Yeah. Apple's real big in New York, obviously, right? The wineries, that. And then you got the foot. By the way, quick sidebar before we get into this. They don't still make the wine by stomping the grapes, right?
No, man. It's all like a automated process now.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't know.
Are there any wineries, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, that still employ like people to stomp on the grapes to make the wine?
I hope not.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's like some...
I'm assuming like it's so mass-produced now, even like the high-end stuff.
But I mean, you just need a lot of feet.
Yes, and I don't think that's possible.
Well, you could pay someone $15 an hour to just stomp
grapes
down.
All day.
Well, I don't know, man.
I have no idea, but I'm going to say no.
It's possible. It's possible that something about that process makes the wine taste different than if you put it through like some kind of factory stuff. Right. I don't know. I'm asking. Okay, Kimmy's got the answer.
So it says, yes, some winemakers still stomp grapes by foot. Most use commercial equipment, but it says old school grape crushing by foot makes better wine.
What did I just, like, I'm a genius. I have no idea, and I literally just said exactly that. You are lucky to be in my glory.
I am so
everything falls out of my mouth. No, but between the apples, and you're right.
All right.
That looks gross. Between the wine, you can make the argument that grape stomping with feet is gross. Mm. And then, like, maple syrup is big around here.
Mm. But I don't think that's gross.
Okay, have you ever actually watched the process of them make maple syrup?
Well, they boil it, right?
Yeah. But it's not what you think it is.
But like the initial extraction, is that what you're talking about?
They take it out of the tree. Yeah. And then, like, have you ever been to a place like Genesee Country Village Museum will walk you through the entire step.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way that it comes out of the tree to what they make it to what they make it after that before it becomes maple syrup, it's like, blech.
Oh, really?
Like I always wonder like who saw this initially and thought, I'm going to eat that.
Yeah. Because somebody had to eat that.
Yeah.
So there had to be a first person to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this and then eat it.
Well, what is it? So the stuff that comes out of the tree isn't sweet, right?
I don't
know.
Like
the sap?
Yeah, I thought it was. Is that sweet or they had to make it sweet by boiling?
Okay, I've walked through that presentation
five times.
Yeah, with my kids.
Because I'm saying, like, could you just touch the tree and go, oh, that tastes sweet?
You should try it.
No, I don't touch in trees.
You tree touch over there?
No, I don't touch. No touchy.
No, but if it's not sweet,
yeah,
then that makes it even more weird because someone had to be like, this stuff that's not sweet.
Then you had to process it to get it sweet.
Exactly. I'm going to process it to make it sweet. I'm going to put it over pancakes.
Yes.
It is.
So what came first, the syrup or the pancake? Are people just eating dry-ass pancakes? Or did somebody go, we got to put this syrup on something?
You could. They probably put other stuff on pancakes first.
Yeah, like fruit and
preserved
stuff.
Fruit.
Oh, okay.
Because that's been around forever, right? But like, you know,
fruit's been around since day one.
Preserved strawberries on top of a pancake. Right. That sounds pretty good. They still sell them like that somewhere. No, but like Kimmy's right. Watching the way something is made, the food that you love.
Like seeing the beginning part of it.
Sausage being another one. Yeah, exactly. But like past that, the idea that somebody had to try that first at some point in history. And who was that person? Because today... they're probably remembered as someone who is great. But I wonder, like, if in their time, it's like, oh, there goes Dave. He's sticking his tongue in trees again.
Or even
quit tonguing the trees, Dave.
You tree tonguing over there? You tree touching tonguing?
Or even the grape stomping. Like, before you had a process of, like, actually making it drinkable, did people just... were you eating foot grapes?
Yeah.
Foot grapes.
I mean, well, how else would you have had it, right?
Know.
Because, like, I have, like, this image of, like, you know, like, Vincenzo in his village, right? Like, he's in a bucket stomping on grapes, and people are, like, walking past, like, don't look, don't make eye contact. He's stomping on grapes again. It's actually pretty good.
I thought it went all the way back to, like, the Bible or something.
Yeah, probably did.
Right?
Vincenzo in the Bible. That's what I was talking
about.
Wasn't
Jesus, they were drinking wine, right?
Well, no, only after he turned water into it, which is a whole other process. Much cleaner than the whole foot thing.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. Again, we're talking about Casa Larga's annual Purple Foot Festival, a celebration of the family, 50th anniversary of them owning, it looks like, the grapes' Italian heritage on top of the da-da-da-da-da parenting. But Kimmy saw this, and I mean, doesn't love the whole grape thing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't love the whole apple cider thing.
Yeah, I just think sometimes I don't want to know how things are made.
Even like going to like a farm, because it's big farm season now with the apples and the pumpkins.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right?
Like drinking the freshest milk? No, thanks. I like my milk in a carton.
Well, I mean, no. I mean,
you don't want a stool and pail?
No.
Well, yeah,
I don't want to see it. I just, out of sight, out of mind.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that's just...
Like milking of a cow doesn't bother me.
Really?
He's kind of into it, actually.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
I think just something about it coming.
I'd touch him.
You tongue tell your cow tongue and touch a tree tucking.
I think something about just seeing it come right from the source.
That bothers you?
I think so.
Like, I don't want to drink it from the teat, but it doesn't bother me watching a milk
You wouldn't drink it?
From the teat?
I don't know. Do they offer you that if you go? Watch it
You
got to
pay extra.
But here's what's weird.
Cow follows you home.
Like, you wouldn't want to see, like, a cow getting butchered, right?
No.
No.
But you'll go and watch somebody clean a fish. Mm. At a restaurant or a sushi bar, and people will eat that stuff.
But even that, I could do without.
Yeah, I don't love that.
But it doesn't gross you out.
Can I ask a question?
What?
No, you just triggered a memory in my head. Because my dad, fishing guy.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, my dad would like catch fish out of the lake, and then we would eat it.
Yeah.
But like he would, it wasn't this lake. It was up in Canada. Probably still dirty.
Either way, you still got to know what you're doing.
Well, look, I mean, maybe he knew. I don't know if he knew what he was doing. But before he filleted the fish, he'd beat it to death with the knife.
Oh.
The broad end of the knife. Is that?
But the blunt end of the.
Yeah, is that normal?
No.
Okay.
I have never seen that.
I wish I had not said that out loud.
But maybe. Because,
I mean, you don't want
to. My old man used to love to fish, but I don't remember him beating the hell out of a fish.
How do you kill it? You can't drown him.
Usually you put him up there and you just started. You cut its head off.
Oh, so you. Oh, right. You cut its head off alive?
Right away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can remember, there was a way of holding it down, pulling this is going to get grim, but you pull it down, and then you open it up, clean it out, and then you scale it, and then you fillet it.
Okay.
That's the way I remember doing it.
Poor fish.
Yeah.
You know, I guess
it's not a good life.
I guess maybe my dad was the more humane.
Maybe.
Bludgeoning it to death.
Bludgeoning the fish to death in his tiny kitchen in a cabin in Canada. But I remember I must have been like 5, 6, 7 years old being horrified, but I didn't want to look like a bitch and like run away. So I would stand there in horror watching him slowly beat this fish to death.
So yeah. But I remember sitting in a place having coffee, and it was like a cafe, but it was also like a market.
Okay.
And they had rabbits and pheasant, and all, but they had the whole body, right? You know, the little things looking at you.
Sure, yeah.
And they, this like grandfather and this granddaughter are standing there, and he picks out a rabbit, and then the guy cleans it in front of the kid and the father, and they were cool with it. I was completely grossed out.
Oh.
And I used to cut meat for a living. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man, that rabbit doesn't have a head, bro. Like, the worst part was they had like a meat barrel there.
Okay.
And it was early in the morning, so there was nothing in the barrel. So I actually heard the thump of the head into the barrel. I got a cup of coffee, and I'm like, this little girl's like, papa, papa. I'm like, man, this is nasty. You're going to eat that?
A little girl's tougher than you.
It's very tough.
Messages coming in. Carrie Ann writes us on Instagram. She says, my sister visited a dairy farm when she was in school, saw the milking process, and refused to drink milk ever since. Oh. I don't understand the milk.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty, it's that gross.
Yeah, right? Although I guess it is like the only thing we drink that comes out of another
animal.
Yeah,
I mean, you're watching it come directly out of the animal, which could, I guess, again, like just the act of seeing it could.
Is it the tugging on the tatas bothering
you? The tata tugging? You tat tugging over there?
Yeah, because you're doing that, right?
Tat tug, touch, tree touching?
Because there's like, you got to twist it too when you pull it down.
There's an actual art quickly.
Have you ever done it?
No.
Did you not take any field trips as a kid?
Are you sure it was a cow? Hey, Tommy, why don't you put a blindfold on where you teach you how to milk a cow? Oh, yeah.
I did that show. No, but like, yeah, I mean, it's...
No, I've never milked a cow.
Oh, all right.
You have?
Yes. I mean, like, joke kid stuff.
Joke milk? Cow
milking? Like, yeah, so we did like a...
joke milking that cow.
Yeah, it was like a field trip.
Yeah, no, I've never... Have you milked a cow?
No.
Okay, so 2/3 of the break room not milked a cow. You're in the minority.
And you're a country kid.
Yeah, no, we never took a field trip to a farm, though.
By the way, would you let like a bunch of third graders get in line and milk that poor cow?
Bro, it was the 1960s. I didn't care.
Free love, baby. Oh, we got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. We had started talking about the Purple Foot Festival, and this conversation started with the wine stomping versus the process stuff. This comes in from Bill. Bill says, you can tell when wine has been foot stomped as opposed to processed through the machines that they use at some wineries. I prefer foot stomped wine, and it's not gross. The feet are always clean before they're put into the grapes.
Okay, first of all, he's full of crap. Like, he can tell the difference. Like, he's some kind of wine connoisseur.
That's what Bill said. What do you have for me?
Bill's a wine liar.
He could be a foudroyer.
Yeah. Like, just the thought of somebody stomping on my food grosses me out.
Yeah, that's also, well, I don't know. Like, what's the difference between, a foot is probably cleaner than a hand.
No, it's not.
Well, no, I mean, think about it.
I don't know. You're not touching as much if you're wearing shoes.
Yeah, you just take your shoes off. I mean, yeah, sure, it's sweaty and stuff, but like, think about all those things.
I think the sweatiness and like just stink of it all.
But think about all the things your hands touch on a daily basis. And you want to believe that people in a restaurant, when they're cutting meat or whatever, are wearing gloves and washing hands. But you and I, having worked in those industries before, know that's a lie.
It is a little gross.
So, I mean, like, I get it. I get the visual of the foot stomp of gross in and out. But every time you go out to eat, probably grosser than drinking foot-stomped wine.
All right.
And, oh, by the way, it goes through the fermentation process, so the alcohol would kill it anyway.
Right. That's what they say about a lot of stuff. I never believe that. The heat will burn it up. The alcohol kills everything.
Yeah, I just said it. I don't even know if that's true.
I know.
No idea.
What's the kombucha?
Yes.
Like, that's another one where somebody told me how it was made, and I was like, who thought drinking this was a good idea?
And that one's like a billion years old.
I know.
I get it, right?
I knew people that like made it themselves, and it would like sit in their kitchen and stuff.
It has to like ferment like in a jar?
Yeah. It's like, hey, you want batch and snot in a jar in your kitchen.
Because fermenting just means it's kind of rotting.
Yes.
That's all it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. But like that I get, though, because it's like, you know, like a million years old. Like,
what does it do for you?
They didn't have much.
It's supposed to have a lot of health benefits. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Probably. I don't know. Who cares? My kids
have a tough time with it.
It's gross. Yeah. It's one of those things that, like, you know, in like 10 years, we'll be like, oh, it turns out it did nothing. You just drank snot for nothing.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, if the man in this story accused of doing wrong actually did, he deserves to be punished. All right. But there's a couple of questions to be asked here. One, how severe should the punishment be? Because what he did, in theory, will stay forever on this person's body.
Oh.
And the other debate to be had is, you know, you're not going to hold a child responsible for a bad decision.
Yeah.
But this kid did knowingly, it seems, deceive somebody else.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, a tattooer out in Panyang.
At a
tattoo shop.
Mm-hmm.
Has been arrested after allegedly giving an underage kid a tattoo.
Do we know the age of the child?
We do not. We do not know the age. Okay. Here's what we do know. Mm. It all started when the Department of Social Services got a tip that an underage child had been given a tattoo from the shop. They did an investigation. Police say the artist admitted he had given the tattoo to the person of the picture they showed him.
No.
He ended up turning himself in. Authorities, according to the story, believe the artist simply failed to check ID before they did the tattoo.
Right.
So it's possible that this tattoo artist just assumed this person was of age,
right,
made a mistake, and now they're in trouble.
Mm.
He was charged, a tattoo artist, with unlawfully dealing with a minor. He has a court date coming up. So first question right off the bat.
Yeah.
Is this like serious trouble?
I have no idea. It doesn't seem like it to me.
Wait, you don't think it's a big deal or you don't think it's big trouble?
I mean, I don't think it's like a huge deal.
You put a tattoo on an underage kid?
It's not that great, but I wouldn't say like your life's over.
Okay, well, do you need a license to tattoo? You should know this.
I thought so.
252-WCMF, 252-9263.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is it like cosmetology where you're like...
To get like a certificate.
Because it is.
I would think you'd have to be licensed just because of like... The equipment you're using.
Right. That's what I was saying. Health reasons.
You got to know how to do that.
Okay. No, I understand, but I also have the ability as a consumer to go to a licensed versus non-licensed.
I know when
shop.
You get a tattoo in prison, they don't have to be licensed. Those guys are just, you know, they do it on their own.
Can we do a quick
yes,
sidebar?
Yes, you need a license to tattoo in New York State.
Okay. Like, do you have to, like, test for that license or you just apply and get it? Because, like, with cosmetology, you have to show them, like, you know what you're doing, right?
Maybe at the. They do have people that get tattoos just to get tattoos. They're called taters. That show up, and maybe they have guys that you get to ink on.
Okay.
Like that.
Can we do a quick sidebar? I always find
I think that's how Jolly Roll got all that stuff.
Jolly Roll? Is he like Jolly Roll? And Jolly Ranchers?
Well, he's very jolly. He's quite jovial.
Oh, you guys you're seeing their new album from Jolly Rancher Roll? Have you checked it out? Pretty good. I don't know if you heard it. Hello, fellow teenagers.
So you need a license, and the tattoo shop also needs to be licensed.
Okay, 252-WCMF. I know we got a couple of men and women that tattoo that listen to this show. If you are listening right now, do you have to test for this license, or is it like you fill out a form and they send you a license?
I hope you got to show you know what you're doing.
No, but I mean, like, if I walk into a tattoo shop, I see the work that you've done before. Like, I can make an informed decision on whether or not you should tattoo.
Yeah. So it says, yeah, there's an application process, so I don't know what that entails.
Okay, I guess what I'm getting at is, if this guy is guilty of tattooing an underage kid, does his license get taken away? Can he no longer make a living tattooing?
Maybe so.
Okay.
But when you say underage, so I guess you have to be 18,
I think, right? Is it 17?
Well, I don't know if it's different now, but I think you could maybe get one at 17 with a parent's permission or something like that at some point.
Hmm.
But a 17, 18-year-old, I mean, they look like grown people.
Oh, here
so
we
you
go.
May not
oh.
even ask.
What? Judge. I mean... 17, 18, 16, what's the difference, really? What's the difference?
I mean, a 17-year-old could look 25.
Yeah, that's why you ask for an ID up to like 30. That's why
30?
They do it at Wegmans, right? They ID everybody at Wegmans, right?
Well, that's Wegmans. They're buttoned up.
But why would you not? I mean, if my livelihood
is
tattooing, all I have to do is ask to see your ID. All right, so with that all being said, whether or not this person is guilty, we will find out in the courts. But this child who may now have something permanently on their body for the rest of their life that they could not legally get.
Yeah.
If you are this kid's parent, are you more upset with the tattoo artist or are you more upset with your kid for walking in there underage and getting a tattoo?
I'm going to guess most parents are going to blame the tattoo artist just because you're the adult. You're supposed to prevent things like this from happening, even though you're still pissed at your kid. But I'm going to say most parents are going to blame the place where they went to go do it.
Thomas?
Yeah, I think most parents want to blame somebody else than their because it's... They don't want to be that reflected poorly on them.
Okay.
So they're going to push it off on a tattoo artist, even though you got to be pissed at your kid for doing that.
Well, I mean, they walked in knowingly, deceiving this business. Not only did they get something that they can't remove, unless you use like lasers and stuff, right? They also may have cost someone their livelihood. I mean, look, I'm not saying charge the kid. Right, obviously. But I do find it funny how, like, this guy's in trouble. This kid has this tattoo for the rest of their life. But, like, unless you have parents that are, like, furious with the kid, I mean, the kid should be held some kind of responsibility.
Oh, sure.
Here. They
yeah,
knew.
He was jackassing around.
He or she, we don't know.
He wanted to be cool.
Well, you were saying he. This. I saw a girl in my head.
Mine went to young man.
A strapping young man.
A strapping, mature man, boy.
We don't know.
Man boy. Was Pen Yen, right?
Yes.
We don't know what kind of tattoo they got either, right? Like, was this like, okay.
No, you did not say in the police report what kind of tattoo it was.
It's probably something stupid.
Well, what's it? You think every tattoo's stupid.
I got it.
No,
know.
But like at that age, what you would think is cool.
Yeah.
It is funny, right? Like, look, we were all stupid at that age to your point, right? Mm. Okay. There are lots of people listening who got tattoos when they were of legal age, between like 18 and 23, that regret the stupid tattoo
they
got.
My husband's one of them.
So what did your husband get?
So when he, I think it must have been right when he turned 18, he went and he got like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a, it's like kind of like tribal looking design on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really anything in particular. He just thought it looked cool.
Okay.
And he ended up, you know, later in life getting it covered up with something else.
Kimmy's face. But like with the tribal design, they didn't have to do much.
Tribal Kimmy.
But yeah, he said he instantly regretted it after he got it.
So as we talk about this tattoo artist out in Penn Yan that has been arrested after allegedly giving an underage kid a tattoo. Again, according to the story, it sounds like he just didn't check the kid's ID. Yeah. It sounds like it was a mistake, but it's still illegal. Does anyone have a tattoo they got between 18 and 23 that they still like?
Because yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. We may be the only radio show in Rochester that has no tattoos amongst the hosts.
Right.
Right? Because you don't have one.
No.
You know, no.
You should get one.
Well, what should it say?
I don't know. Bitch ass bitch.
Didn't think that one through, did you?
No, I didn't. I mean, I was going.
Bitch ass bitch.
I was going for another punchline, but you derailed me. I had no choice. That's what I had to do. And I've never loved anything enough to get a tattoo.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I would think you, of all people, have the what's the word I'm looking for? Would have the least regrets about a tattoo, because I would think it would be for like your kids or something.
Yeah,
you
know,
but you did it at 18, like that younger age, like what you were into, what you thought was cool or relevant.
Yep.
And then you look back a decade later, you can't be happy with it.
I mean, like,
there's no way you nail something like that at 18.
To Kimmy's point, the only one at 18 to 23 that has a chance to stick is the family stuff, like, you know, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, whatever.
But you're going to probably get like a logo of like your team or,
you know,
class of 86 rules.
They rule. They rule.
But, you know, all that dumb stuff you thought was cool, like a car logo.
Ben just got one, and he's a grown-ass man.
What did he get?
Yeah, he did. Jeep. That was his first tattoo.
Sergeant Frog, was it? I just saw
something like that.
Was it a Jeep thing?
I am ashamed of myself that I knew that off the top of my
head. He got a Jeep. Was it a Jeep
logo?
It was
like the front of a Jeep.
Yeah, the Jeep grill, and then the name of his truck. Speaking of the devil. No, but like when it comes to high school tattoos, it's the high school-related tattoos, you're right, are the worst. The mascot of the high school you went to, the sports number that you wore when you played high school sports, the worst one, and Kimmy, you've seen this 1,000 times, the stupid name that you gave your group of buddies in high school that you all did, bro, let's all get tattoos of the Rowdy Bunch. Yeah. And like, we'll remember it forever, bro, forever. Rowdy Bunch! Do we die?
Or you get those, like, I see those lacrosse ones where it's just two sticks.
And like their high school number.
Yes.
But you know what else?
There are very prominent businessmen that still have those tattoos. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I wonder how many guys, because every now and then too, there was like an athlete that had like a popular tattoo or something. And I vaguely remember when I was in high school, I can't even remember which Syracuse player had it, but it was like it looked like a basketball.
Oh, it wasn't. Was it J-Man? No, it was Eric Diebendorf. That's
is that
who?
And I remember guys who played basketball got like a similar tattoo on their arm.
Here's the rule for you. Right. And I know 90% of the audience doesn't even know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Don't ever do anything Eric Diebendorf has ever done.
Okay.
There's your message for the day. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this tattoo artist who was busted for allegedly tattooing an underage kid. Let's talk to Joe. Hey, Joe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So, back when I was 17, they had the local carnival, the Stafford Carnival, big event out in Genesee County. So, I remember going to a one time underage to get into the beer tent, but my buddies were working the gate. I had $50 on me. There was a tattoo artist there. His name was Squirrel. He did everything freehand. He was a big tattoo artist of the bike gangs, the motorcycle gangs back then. And I wanted a tattoo by this guy. But I told him the whole situation. Squirrel, I got $50. I want to go get drunk. I want to drink. I want to get a tattoo. Sat me down in the chair, put a 1-inch rose on my right arm for $20. I got my tattoo. I got drunk. I went home. That was it.
All right,
that's a carny tattoo.
So, did you say it was 1 inch?
Absolutely. And you know what? This guy was—he was well known. You ask any of the biker, you know, guys around the area, very well known. And he did a lot, thousands of tattoos for these guys, all freehand, which they don't do that very much anymore. And that next summer, the guy was killed in a motorcycle accident. So I'm proud to say I have a squirrel tattoo.
Is that your only tattoo?
No, I probably got about 10 of them, Jimmy, okay. But that was my first. That okay, was my sure. first. And the best part, luckily my grandmother's name was Rose, so I play it off.
Oh, there you go.
Grandma.
Okay.
Right.
Joe.
What are you going to do? I mean, the Joe. Carnival of Jenny likes to happen.
Joe, I love you. I love you, Joe. I love
this
you.
This is tattoo, Joe.
This is the worst story I've ever heard in my life. This is the worst story I've ever heard.
I didn't need a follow-up to how his life ended, man. You could have ended with, I got to...
I was the coolest guy in the beer tent that night. So come on.
Well, you had that going for you.
Joe, that's the cold money ever can rest.
I like that story wrapped up in a nice, neat
bubble. Yeah, seriously.
A motorcycle death.
By a guy named Squirrel.
What are you doing, Joe? So wait, his story was he got 17, snuck into a beer tent in a carnival.
Had $50.
Got an outdoor tattoo.
Yeah, freehand. From Squirrel.
He didn't even choose it. The guy just picked it himself. He then has to lie about what it is because his grandmother was named Rose, and then he finished it all up, but now he's dead.
I would also think if a buddy told you, I got my first tattoo, you'd be disappointed if it was just like a dinky little rose.
Until he told you he got it at the beer tent of a carnival.
Fair.
All right, we're not topping that. Let's take a break. Guess it was just a matter of time before something like this happened.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty surprising this doesn't happen on a regular basis, because it's not like dogs are the most brilliant animals on earth.
No, they make very bad decisions.
Yep. One woman had the panic of her life while the folks behind her in their cars got a show. And I guess, Kibby, this might now be a risk every time you open your window and let your dog hang its head up.
I mean, I know people it's happened to.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before, ever.
Really?
You're hanging out in the break room, Monsters Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. A video from Rhonda Coit has gone big time viral over the weekend.
What happened?
So in the video, there is a car stopped near Colebrook Road.
Okay.
And the person who is taking the video had their camera out because a deer was right off to the side of the road munching on some grass.
All right.
So this person is in their car, they're videotaping the deer, it's right there, and it's just...
How cute.
All of a sudden... You see a head of a German shepherd in the car ahead of this person.
Okay.
And the shepherd is looking at the deer. He's looking at what? He wants that deer bad. He's looking at him, right? Out of nowhere, the German shepherd leaps out of the open window.
So now he's at the car.
And he takes off after the deer.
All right.
So the deer takes off running.
They will do that.
And now we got a situation.
All right.
So it's so funny, like watching, you see the look on the dog's face and you know what he wants to do, but you don't think he's actually going to jump. It's interesting too, because if you've seen the video, the dog waits until he's directly behind the deer. Like he thinks the deer can't see him.
Yeah.
And then he makes his move.
Pounces. So now you got a shepherd deer chase.
Yes, you got it. And the funniest part of this video, as the dog, the German shepherd, is running, you can see he is dragging a retractable leash behind him as he's trying to reach the deer. So it's possible that even the owner was holding the leash, not expecting the dog to like jump out the window, and boom, the thing was gone.
So what happened?
So the dog chased the deer through a bunch of yards. The video cuts off when the dog gets out of frame. No word on what happened to the dog. Hopefully, the German Shepherd is okay.
Okay.
You've seen this before, Kimmy?
No, but I haven't seen it personally, but I know somebody that it's happened to. Because you know how some drive-thrus, like they'll give your dog like a treat or something?
Yeah.
So a friend of mine's dog got used to getting a treat all the time. It jumped out of the window and tried to jump into the window of the drive-thru. Because it was like, I know there's treats in here.
This happened to me at Dunkin' Donuts. Same thing.
Really?
The dog tried to jump into the window.
So then my old dog, Scotch, I used to take him when I ran errands, right? So if I had to go to, like, Dunkin', they would give him a little munchkin.
Yeah.
And then when I went to the dry cleaner, the drive-thru dry cleaner, they would give him a treat.
No kidding.
When I went to the bank, they would give him a treat. So every time we pulled up to something, he just thought it was like a treat receptacle, right? So when I'm at Dunkin', and I'm, you know, they're big advertisers on the show, so I'm talking to the guy, Dom, and all of a sudden my dog literally is hanging into the window face to face with the owner. And like, he's trying to hold on to him. He's got his front. I've got the dog's ass. And I'm trying to pull the dog back into the car. And you don't realize how heavy your dog is. You're in that position where you're trying to yank the dog back in. But he just like bolted in there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, be a more responsible dog owner. Second of all, sidebar, do you know how much more pleasant errands would be if we were the ones getting the treats?
You want a candy?
Well, I go to the bank more.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they probably give stuff to your kid, too, right?
Yeah, like again, that's not me. Yeah. That is not me. Like, if I got, like, a munchkin or, like, a sucker or something every time I had to go somewhere, I'd be excited to go run errands.
Yeah.
Just something to think about. Mm-hmm. You know, keep a little Milky Way, the little Milky Ways there.
So the big thing they do now is those, I think Starbucks does it. It's called a puppy cappuccino. Cup. It's whipped cream in a cup.
Puppuccino.
That you give your dog.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that's healthy for a dog.
I was going to say, is that good for the dog?
But, like,
once in a while.
If a dog knows he's going to get one of those every time, he's going to go berserk.
Do they charge you for the puppuccino?
No, they don't.
You sure?
Well, when I did it last time we were traveling with the dog, mm-hmm. I went through a Starbucks. They just gave the dog this little treat. I gave it to her, and the thing was all over her face.
Wait, you're telling me the dog did not daintily eat the cup of whipped cream?
It's like an animal.
Okay. Can I point out you're that guy now?
What?
See, I'm going to stop at Starbucks, and it's not enough that I get Starbucks. I'm also going to get my high-end dog a Starbucks tea.
Well, they offer it. I'm not going to turn it down. Starbucks. So my wife was mad that the dog had the whipped cream. And I go, they do it. It probably doesn't kill the dog.
Probably. That's not a good way to answer that question.
I know they're not supposed to have chocolate.
252 WCMF. So again, we're talking about this video that went viral out in Irondequoit. German Shepherd jumps out a window as a deer is just munching grass. He's chasing after the deer. The video cuts off there. How does this not happen every single day?
Probably happens more than you realize, but not everybody has cameras out all the time. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I've been alive 38 years. I've driven a ton. Yeah. I've seen all kinds of dogs sticking their head out the window. I've never even seen a dog attempt it. I just assume dogs knew danger lurks outside of the car, so I stay put.
But if you're stopped like that, that's like the perfect scenario where the car stopped and there's a wild animal right there.
Yeah. But I'm also surprised it's a German Shepherd because those are usually really well-trained dogs.
And they're big.
Yeah. Oh, he was fast.
Yeah.
Pew! 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Caleb. Hello, Caleb.
Hello, Duffy.
What's up?
My dog never jumped out of the car before, but he did jump out of a second-story window in the house I was living at the time to go chase. I don't even know what the hell it is he saw, but I hear a scuffle in one of the bedrooms, and I walk into the room, and I literally just see his back half launch out the window, and I ran to the window, obviously, because literally as soon as it happened, my heart just dropped. To this day, I don't know what the hell it is he saw. It might have been a deer, but he's always had a thing for, like, bunnies and cats.
You make it sound like a fetish.
Hey, what are you doing with it? Well, all right, Caleb, was he okay?
I think he was okay. I think he scared himself because, like, I mean, he ran to the other side of the neighborhood that I was living in.
You know what I heard?
What's that?
I heard he died in a motorcycle accident a year later.
Your worst part? Chasing squirrel.
Yeah.
No, he's okay. I mean, that was almost 5 years ago. He's still doing good.
But Stop talking. I lost interest in your story after the dog went out the window, Caleb.
Caleb, your story went on. Look, I love the story. I love the story, Caleb.
Yeah, Pat loves it.
There's a lot of detail about a dog out a window. Just saying, Caleb, for future dog out window stories.
Are you done?
Caleb, thanks for the call, buddy. Why you got to break Caleb's spirit like that?
Huh? It's because it's so easy.
You should never heard of Caleb. It's a biblical name. So if you're the owner of this dog out in Irondequoit, dog jumps out the window, he's chasing the deer, he's not running through yards. What the hell are you supposed to do?
Pull over and go get your dog.
Well, here's the problem. If you get out of the car and try and chase him, you could lose him, and you may not have time to pull over. Irondequoit, for some reason, has no shoulders anywhere.
Oh, really?
It's like the, right, Kimmy, am I wrong there? Irondequoit's like the community of no shoulders on their streets.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I've never really noticed that before, but it's a tight squeeze there.
If there's ever a where they whining about lack of shoulders on the road, we know people will be around and quite
right. I still had to just pull over, put your blinkers on, and go.
No, but this woman, like, the dog went out, she would have to throw the car in park, get out of her car in the middle of the street, and run.
Yeah.
Right? So you're gonna abandon your car in the middle of the road with
traffic. I think most people
would
abandon their car for their dog.
Their car?
Yeah.
I mean, you know the way that people are ripping cars off. You just—it's a sit and duck for somebody.
But it could just be your immediate reaction. You know what I mean?
Get your
dog. You might do it without even thinking about it.
So you're telling me, Kimmy, you'd throw it in park and run after the car?
I don't know. If there was nowhere to pull over, I think if I'm not going anywhere, I would get out initially. And I don't know. It'd be hard to say.
How about you?
What
are you throwing the car in park and leaving it open there, running to go get your dog?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get the dog.
Are you? Yeah. Can I ask you another question?
What?
Why you lying?
Bro,
I
almost got run over in a Bojangles parking lot chasing a goddamn
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, that's true.
Trying to stop rednecks from getting chicken.
That's the third best story of the day, by the way, with all the stories you've gotten so far. All right, let me ask you this then.
What?
So I guess it's an easy decision to go chase after your dog.
Yeah.
If you're the car behind the dog, are you getting out to help too?
No.
No?
No.
You claim to be a dog lover.
I am.
Apparently not.
I'm not chasing somebody else's dog, but the dog's not going to come to me.
The dog, but I'm saying you can help trap the dog. The dog can get hit by a car. They need all the help they can get at that point.
No. That's where it ends.
Kimmy, are you bailing on your car if you're behind the car where the dog jumped out?
I probably not, only because I don't know if the dog's going to even come to me anyways.
Right.
I mean...
Sure. Well, I mean, look... I mean,
After losing my dog, I was told, don't chase it. It only makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, that's you're right. After all those people went out of their way to help Kimmy find her dog when he went missing... It would be probably good for you.
No, but that's really, you're not supposed to do that. It actually only drives it further away.
Okay, so like, what if this is in your neighborhood?
Okay.
All right, right? Like the dog is
a loose dog in the neighborhood.
Yeah, running through your yard. Yeah. You come out of the house to help with that
dog?
Yeah,
I mean, not that I'll do.
Oh, wow.
But half-assed.
What is half-assed searching for a dog?
You know, yeah, I didn't say it.
So that's not helping.
Dog. I don't even know the dog's name. How do I call for a dog? I don't even know its name.
Well, I don't know. Would it come to you even if you knew its name? It doesn't know
maybe
your voice.
Maybe just say like cheese or treats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just start going down the list of food that dogs
I got seven dogs in my yard.
I'll tell you what, man. We talk about like the people chasing after the dog. Mm-hmm. The most terrifying thing might be to see a German Shepherd sprinting through your yard if you have no idea what the hell's going on. Because those are very intimidating dogs.
Yes, they are. Yeah, man. It's a cop dog.
That's a cop dog.
It is. It's a police dog.
Dog cop.
And it's army. They all have like.
He's gonna start naming
decorated heroes that are German shepherds.
Naming dogs, army, navy, marines,
air force, marines.
Dogs gotta learn
air force.
You gotta put that dog air in a boat. You gotta learn how to swim. Flying dogs.
Jumped out of the jet.
252 WCMF. Again, we started this conversation with a German Shepherd. Video's gone viral out in Irondequoit. Jumped out of a window to chase after a deer, and nobody knew what the hell to do. Mm. He's dragging his leash behind him. Nick's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Nick, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good. How's it going, guys?
Good, Nick.
So I got a buddy who was driving with his massive pit bull in the car, and the dog saw another, you know, a rival dog outside, jumped out the window. My buddy grabbed the leash. Just tore his shoulder out immediately.
Oh!
So now that he's dragging his shoulder down the street?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, it took the arm clean out. No, he had surgery. He's got screws and stuff in it. Now it's not good.
Okay, so I know everybody's loyal to their dog and everything, right? Can you still love your dog if it rips your shoulder out?
Tears your shoulder.
It'd be a tough call.
Right?
Like, if it caused that much pain.
And, like, cost. Think about what it cost to have your shoulder rebuilt. I also love how Nick described the other dog as a rival dog. Like it was the Peyton Manning to that dog's Tom Brady. Isn't every dog a rival dog to a dog?
It seems to be when they see each other.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Sometimes. They got dog homies.
All right, Nick. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good
rest of the day. They got
dog homies. Dog homies and dog rivals.
Put that on a t-shirt. Sell it at the rock shop. They got dog homies. Guess it was just a matter of time before something like this happened.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty surprising this doesn't happen on a regular basis, because it's not like dogs are the most brilliant animals on earth.
No, they make very bad decisions.
Yep. One woman had the panic of her life while the folks behind her in their cars got a show. And I guess, Kimmy, this might now be a risk every time you open your window and let your dog hang its head up.
I mean, I know people it's happened to.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before, ever.
Really?
You're hanging out in the break room, Monsters Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. A video from Irondequoit has gone big time viral over the weekend.
What happened?
So in the video, there is a car stopped near Colebrook Road.
Okay.
And the person who is taking the video had their camera out because a deer was right off to the side of the road munching on some grass.
All right.
So this person is in their car, they're videotaping the deer, it's right there, and it's just...
How cute.
All of a sudden... You see a head of a German Shepherd in the car ahead of this person.
Okay.
And the Shepherd is looking at the deer. He's looking at what? He wants that deer bad. He's looking at him, right? Out of nowhere, the German Shepherd leaps out of the open window.
So now he's at the car.
And he takes off after the deer.
All right.
So the deer takes off running.
They will do that.
And now we got a situation.
All right.
So it's so funny, like, watching. You could, like, you see the look on the dog's face, and you know what he wants to do, but you don't think he's actually going to jump. It's interesting, too, because if you've seen the video, the dog waits until he's directly behind the deer. Like, he thinks the deer can't see him.
Yeah.
And then he makes his move.
Pounces. So now you got a shepherd deer chase.
Yes, you got it. And the funniest part of this video, as the dog, the German shepherd, is running, you can see he is dragging a retractable leash behind him as he's trying to reach the deer. So it's possible that even the owner was holding the leash, not expecting the dog to, like, jump out the window, and boom, the thing was gone.
So what happened?
So the dog chased the deer through a bunch of yards. The video cuts off when the dog gets out of frame. No word on what happened to the dog. Hopefully, the German Shepherd is okay.
Okay.
You've seen this before, Kimmy?
No, but I haven't seen it personally, but I know somebody that it's happened to. Because you know how some drive-thrus, like, they'll give your dog, like, a treat or something?
Yeah.
So a friend of mine's dog got used to getting a treat all the time. It jumped out of the window and tried to jump into the window of the drive-thru. Because it was like, I know there's treats in here.
This happened to me at Dunkin' Donuts. Same thing.
Really? The dog tried to jump into the window.
So that my old dog, Scotch, I used to take him when I ran errands, right? So if I had to go to, like, Dunkin', they would give him a little munchkin.
Yeah.
And then when I went to the dry cleaner, the drive-thru dry cleaner, they would give him a treat.
No kidding.
When I went to the bank, they would give him a treat. So every time we pulled up to something, he just thought it was like a treat receptacle, right? So when I'm at Dunkin', and I'm, you know, they're big advertisers on the show, so I'm talking to the guy, Dom, and all of a sudden my dog literally is hanging into the window face to face with the owner. And, like, he's trying to hold on to him. He's got his front. I've got the dog's ass. And I'm trying to pull the dog back into the car. And you don't realize how heavy your dog is until you're in that position where you're trying to yank the dog back in. But he just, like, bolted in there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, be a more responsible dog owner. Second of all, sidebar, do you know how much more pleasant errands would be if we were the ones getting the treats?
You want a candy?
Why, go to the bank more?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, they probably give stuff to your kid, too, right?
Yeah, like, again, that's not me. Like, if I got, like, a munchkin or, like, a sucker or something every time I had to go somewhere, I'd be excited to go run errands.
Yeah.
Just something to think about. Mm-hmm. You know, keep a little Milky Way, the little Milky Ways there.
So the big thing they do now is those, I think Starbucks does it. It's called a puppy cappuccino. Cup. It's whipped cream in a cup.
Puppuccino.
That you give your dog.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that's healthy for a dog.
I was going to say, is that good for the dog?
But, like,
once in a while,
if a dog knows he's going to get one of those every time, he's going to go berserk.
Do they charge you for the puppuccino?
No, they don't.
You sure?
Well, when I did it last time we were traveling with the dog, I went through a, Starbucks. They just gave the dog this little treat.
Oh, and then
I gave it to her, and the thing was all over her face.
Wait, you're telling me the dog did not daintily eat the cup of whipped cream?
What do you... It's like an animal.
Okay. Can I point out, you're that guy now?
What?
See, I'm going to stop at Starbucks. And it's not enough that I get Starbucks. I'm also going to get my high-end dog a Starbucks tea.
Well, they offer. I'm not going to turn it down. Starbucks. So my wife was mad that the dog had the whipped cream. And I go, they do it. It probably doesn't kill the dog.
Probably. That's not a good way to answer that question.
I know they're not supposed to have chocolate.
252 WCBF. So again, we're talking about this video that went viral out in Irondequoit. German Shepherd jumps out a window as a deer is, a car window, excuse me, as a deer is just munching grass. He's chasing after the deer. The video cuts off there. How does this not happen every single day?
Probably happens more than you realize, but not everybody has cameras out all the time.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. I've been alive 38 years. I've driven a ton. Yeah. I've seen all kinds of dogs sticking their head out the window. I've never even seen a dog attempt it. I just assume dogs knew danger lurks outside of the car, so I stay
put. But if you're stopped like that, that's like the perfect scenario where the car is stopped and there's a wild animal right there.
Yeah. But I'm also surprised it's a German Shepherd because those are usually really well-trained dogs.
And
they're
big.
Yeah. Oh, he was fast.
Yeah.
Pew! 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Caleb. Hello, Caleb.
Hello, Duffy.
What's up?
My dog never actually, he never jumped out of the car before, but he did jump out of a second-story window in the house I was living at the time to go chase. I don't even know what the hell it is he saw, but I hear like a scuffle in one of the bedrooms and I walk into the room and I literally just see his back half launch out the window. And I ran to the window, obviously, because literally as soon as it happened, my heart just dropped. I don't, to this day, I don't know what the hell it is he saw. It might have been a deer, but he's always had a thing for like bunnies and cats.
You make it sound like a fetish.
Hey, what are you doing over there? Well, right, Caleb, was he okay?
He was okay. I think he scared himself because, like, I mean, he ran to the other side of the neighborhood that I was living in.
You know what I heard?
What's that?
I heard he died in a motorcycle accident a year later.
Your worst part? Chasing squirrel.
Yeah.
No, he's okay. I mean, that was like almost 5 years ago. He's still doing good.
But Stop talking. I lost interest in your story after the dog went out the window, Caleb.
Caleb, your story went out. Look, I love the story. I love the story, Caleb.
Yeah, Pat loves it.
There's a lot of detail about a dog out a window. I'm just saying, Caleb, for future dog out window stories.
I appreciate that.
Are you done?
Caleb, thanks for the call, buddy. Why you got to break Caleb's spirit like that?
Huh? It's because it's so easy.
You should never heard of Caleb. It's a biblical name. So if you're the owner of this dog out in Irondequoit, dog jumps out the window, he's chasing the deer, he's not running through yards, what the hell are you supposed to do?
Pull over and go get your dog.
Well, here's the problem. If you get out of the car and try and chase him, you could lose him, and you may not have time to pull over. Irondequoit, for some reason, has no shoulders anywhere.
Oh, really?
It's like the, right, Kimmy, am I wrong there? Irondequoit's like the community of no shoulders on their streets.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I've never really noticed that before, but it's a tight squeeze in there.
If there's ever a where they whine and about lack of shoulders on the road, we know people be around and quite
right. We still had to just pull over, put your blinkers on, and go.
No, but this woman, like the dog went out, she would have to throw the car in park, get out of her car in the middle of the street, and run.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to abandon your car in the middle of the road with traffic?
I think most people
would
abandon their car for their dog.
Their car?
Yeah.
I mean, you know the way that people are ripping cars off. You just—it's a sitting dog for somebody.
But it could just be your immediate reaction. You know what I mean?
Get your
dog. You might do it without even thinking about it.
So you're telling me, Kimmy, you'd throw it in park and run after the car? Or
I don't know. If there was nowhere to pull over, I think if I'm not going anywhere, I would get out initially. And I don't know. It'd be hard to say.
How about you?
What?
Are you throwing the car in park and leaving it open there, running to go get your dog?
Oh yeah, I'm going to get the dog.
Are you? Yeah. Can I ask you another question?
What?
Why you lying?
Bro,
I
almost got run over in a Bojangles parking lot chasing the goddamn
dog.
Yeah,
that's true.
Trying to stop rednecks from getting chicken.
That's the third best story of the day, by the way, with all the stories you've gotten so far. All right, let me ask you this then.
What?
So I guess it's an easy decision to go chase after your dog.
Yeah.
If you're the car behind the dog, are you getting out to help too?
No.
No?
No.
You claim to be a dog lover.
I am.
Apparently not.
I'm not chasing somebody else's. But the dog's not going to come to me.
The dog, but I'm saying you can help trap the dog. The dog can get hit by a car. They need all the help they can get at that point.
No. That's where it ends.
Kimmy, are you bailing on your car if you're behind the car where the dog jumped out?
Probably not, only because I don't know if the dog's going to even come to me anyways.
Right.
I mean.
Sure. Well, I mean, look. I mean,
after losing my dog, I was told, don't chase it. It only makes it worse.
Mm-hmm, yeah. No, I mean, that's you're right. After all
like
those
that.
People went out of their way to help Kimmy find her dog when he went missing, it would be probably good for
no,
you.
No, but I that's really, you're not supposed to do that. It actually only drives it further away.
Okay, so like, what if this is in your neighborhood?
Okay.
All right, right? Like the dog
so
is
a loose dog in the neighborhood.
Yeah, running through your yard. Yeah. And you come out of the house to help with that
Yeah,
dog.
I mean, not that I'll do.
Oh, wow. Christ,
but half-assed.
What is half-assed searching for a dog?
You know, yeah, I didn't say it.
So that's not helping.
Dog. I don't even know the dog's name. How do I call for a dog? I don't even know its name.
Well, I don't know. Would it come to you even if you knew its name? It doesn't know
Maybe
your voice.
Maybe just say like cheese or treats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just start going down the list of food that
I got seven dogs in my yard.
I'll tell you what, man. We talk about like the people chasing after the dog. Mm-hmm. The most terrifying thing might be to see a German Shepherd sprinting through your yard if you have no idea what the hell's going on. Because those are very intimidating dogs.
Yes, they are. Yeah, man, it's a cop dog.
That's what cop dog.
It is. Police dog.
Dog cop.
And it's army. They all have like...
He's going to start naming...
Decorated heroes that are German Shepherds.
Naming dogs. Army, Navy, Marines.
Air Force, Marines.
Dog's got to learn
Air Force.
You got to put that dog
Air
in a
Force
boat.
Dog.
You got to learn how to swim. Flying dogs.
Jumped out of the jet.
252 WCMF. Again, we started this conversation with a German Shepherd. Video's gone viral out in Irondequoit. Jumped out of a window to chase after a deer, and nobody knew what the hell to do. Mm. He's dragging his leash behind him. Nick's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Nick, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good. How's it going, guys?
Good, Nick.
So I got a buddy who was driving with his massive pit bull in the car, and the dog saw another, you know, a rival dog outside, jumped out the window. My buddy grabbed the leash, just tore his shoulder out immediately.
Oh!
So now that he's dragging his shoulder down the street?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, took the arm clean out. No, he had surgery. He's got screws and stuff in it. Now it's not good.
Okay, so I know everybody's loyal to their dog and everything, right? Can you still love your dog if it rips your shoulder out?
Tears your shoulder.
It'd be a tough call.
Right?
Like, if it caused that much pain.
And, like, cost. Think about what it cost to have your shoulder rebuilt. I also love how Nick described the other dog as a rival dog.
Rival dog.
Like it was the Peyton Manning to that dog's Tom Brady. Isn't every dog a rival dog to a dog?
It seems to be when they see each other.
Right?
Like, yeah. I
mean, sometimes. They got dog homies.
All right, Nick, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good
rest of the day. They got
dog homies and dog rivals.
Put that on a t-shirt, sell it at the rock shop. They got dog homies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.